Take your Bibles now. I'm not going to preach a long time, so relax. Luke chapter 24. If you'll turn there, just a few verses. It reminds us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the thing that makes Christianity different is the cornerstone, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We cannot just stop with the death of Jesus. I mean, a lot of martyrs died, and for good causes. And there have been a lot of people buried, but only one came out of the tomb. Only one. Now, we know Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus did that, but Lazarus had to die again. And there were others, but Jesus never had to die again. He arose. And I'm glad. That's why Christianity is exclusively Christianity. And that's why we say there's only one way to go to heaven. There's not a plurality of ways to get there through various religions. Buddhism won't get you there. Hinduism, all the gods they have will not get you there. Muhammad will not get you there. He's still in the grave. I don't say that to offend anybody, but it's a fact. It's the reality. He's still in the grave, but Jesus arose. Amen. We have the account in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, by the way, that is why we worship on Sunday. When Christ came out of the grave, He put an end to that sabbatical Old Testament principle of having that particular day set aside. And I know there's good to have a day where you rest, but as far as the day of worship, Christ set up the first day of the week, Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. The Bible tells us in other places, it was Mary Magdalene, and that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from her. You think she didn't appreciate the grace of God? Amen. And then the other Mary, and then some others that were there, Cleopas and others. There was a group of women that came. And they were coming not to see a resurrected Savior. You know why they were coming? To anoint what? A dead body. And so they may not have had the faith they should have had, but God loved them anyway, amen? And here they come. They came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. I say amen to that. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, they still didn't quite understand what was going on. They just knew the body was gone. And you remember that Mary Magdalene thought the gardener was somebody that might have taken the body somewhere else and said, "Sir, if you've taken the body, show me where it is. Tell me where it is." She was still thinking that he was dead. So they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments, these angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" They didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand it. There was an angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. Beautiful picture of victory. And I mentioned this morning in my Sunday school lesson, they didn't roll the stone away. The angel didn't so Jesus could get out. That had nothing to do with it. Amen. Roll the stone away so the women could get in and so the whole world could get in and see what really took place with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were afraid. These angels spoke to them. Verse 6 said, "He is not here, but is risen." Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? He had told them he was going to die and be buried, and then he would arise. He had told them that. But it just didn't quite sink into them. And so the angel said, "Don't you remember what he said to you? Do you not remember what he said to you? when he was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. This was a group of women, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And just like a bunch of men, they didn't want to believe the women. Verse 11. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Boy, they were a little hard-headed, weren't they? But they knew. They were excited. And they were women that had ministered to Christ, and they loved Christ, and they had come to anoint His body. It was very typical of the Jewish people, because they believed that on the fourth day, the Spirit left the body, and the body began to deteriorate. Of course, they were wrong about that, but that was their belief, and that's what they practiced. And so here they were coming in love to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. But when they got there, there had been a great, great change. A tremendous change. And when they got there, they discovered that Christ was not in the grave. He was not in the tomb. You see, the cornerstone of our faith is the resurrection. Oh, thank God for His death. And what a horrible death it was. And let's never forget that. And always try to picture in our mind the excruciating pain and all that Christ went through. And there was only one thing that held Him to the cross. And that was His love for us and for lost sinners, as He reached way out in the future and saw that. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and He was buried. That's part of the gospel. But you cannot stop there. Hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose. He came out of that grave. And then He proved Himself. There are so many evidences that Christ really was raised from the dead. Even secular historians declared that things like that had happened during that day. And so we know that there were many witnesses. The women saw Him. The two on the road to Emmaus realized that He was in His resurrected body. He appeared to those in the upper room. And then, of course, had Thomas he had to convince. And then he would just go through a door. He didn't have to open the door. He had His glorified body, the resurrected body. And He showed those people, and 500 even at one time recognized and realized that Jesus Christ was alive, that He arose, that He came out of the grave. Hallelujah to the Lamb. If Christ be not risen, we are reminded, Dr. Barber reminded us of many of these principles this morning. We go back to 1 Corinthians very quickly and just remember what Paul said to the Corinthian believers and to us tonight in 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I expect together, Dr. Barber and I, if you added up our years, we've preached over 100 years. But if Christ be not risen, we've wasted our time preaching. But Christ did come out of the grave. Then he says, we're found false witnesses. We've been lying to you and other preachers and evangelists. Verse 16, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Perish that thought. I was thinking the other day, I tried to put my mind into the mindset of thinking that there is no eternity. There is no life after death. That we just die like an animal. That's it. We don't have a soul and a spirit. And as I contemplated that and tried to put my mind in that, I almost got immediately depressed about it. And you would. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying that if Christ be not raised, If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. And then our loved ones that have fallen asleep, we'll never see them again. If Christ be not raised. But let's hurry up and get to verse 20. Amen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The first one that conquered death and never had to die again, the Lord Jesus Christ. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. Christ came out of the grave. We believe that. You see, eternity is a long time, isn't it? I mean, it's forever and ever and ever. We have a soul and a spirit, and it's going to live on somewhere forever and ever. And what are the two destinations? They're not two or three. There's no such thing as being in limbo. Some of the other teachings of some of the other so-called Christians and everything, that's not there. The Bible says if we die without Christ, we go and enter into eternal torment. And you make out of that whatever you want to. And I do believe there are degrees of punishment in hell, but all hell is going to be eternal torment. But heaven's going to be wonderful. Yes, sir. And those that are believers are going to have a glorified body like Jesus Christ. Wow, I can't wait to get that body. I'm getting a little irritated with mine. Amen, how about you? The older I get, the more irritated I get with it. But I'm telling you, the songs that they were singing, some of the lyrics in the song said, "Purchase my forever." He purchased my forever. I like that. He did purchase my forever. He took my place, paid my sin debt, and when He arose, God said, "I approve of it. I accept it. I take the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was my Son, and He died and paid for your sins." And I'm glad that He did that. No hopeless causes with Jesus. See, I don't care what you've done. If you'll come to Christ, He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. The Apostle Paul wasn't such a good guy, you know, but when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he got saved and his whole life changed. And God forgave him for all of those things of persecution and having Christians even killed. Paul wasn't what you'd call a real godly, saintly person, even though he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He had done some bad things, but God said, "I'll forgive it. I'll put it under the blood. I don't care." Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you may think, "Well, I've done such bad things," or so on and so forth, "that I just don't see how God could forgive me." I'm telling you, He will forgive you. There's no sin that you could commit that Calvary's love will not cover. It's a priceless gift that will cover it all. And He died as our substitute. I think of Barabbas. And for some reason this year, I just thought about Barabbas a little bit more. You remember he was incarcerated and he was a murderer and he was terrible. And I can hear, as it were, the soldiers coming to Barabbas as he was there incarcerated. I don't know exactly what the picture would be. But I know this. When they came after him, he thought he was going to die on the cross. He knew that that was his day. His time was up. And they came and Barabbas was ready to go, I suppose. And they said, "Wait a minute, you don't have to go." He said, "What do you mean? I know I'm supposed to die on the cross. This is my day to die on the cross, Barabbas." But they said, "Well, they've chosen someone else. And that someone else is Jesus Christ." Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus being our substitute when we deserve to die and go to hell? And He took our place on the cross. Thank God He died for us. Paid our sin debt, a debt we could never pay. If you're here without Christ, I hope you'll be saved tonight. But there's a message here for saved people too. Most of you here tonight are saved folks. There's a message. The last song they sang was, "I Will Praise Him." And that's what we should be doing. Everybody that has been saved has reason upon reason upon reason to praise God all the time. How do we praise Him? By living a holy life. Amen? You got sin in your life, get rid of it. And live a holy life. And that brings honor and glory to God. We praise Him when we come to church. We praise Him when we give our tithes and offerings so that people around the world can hear the gospel. Do you know there are some people that would not reject the gospel if they could just hear the gospel? Now, some people hear it and reject it. They don't want it. It doesn't fit with them. But there are a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. They're ignorant. They don't know what it's all about. We need to tell them around the world and right here in our own Jerusalem. We need to praise Him in giving Him our time and our tithes and our talent and everything we can do as servants of God to serve the living God. In other words, we just need to give Him everything we are. Don't you think He deserves that? There's no comparison. No comparison with what He did on the cross for us. And He deserves our commitment and dedication and our very best to do all that we can to glorify Him. There's no excuse for Laodiceanism. There's absolutely no excuse for rotting on the dry rock of complacency. Our lives ought to be revived and effervescent for the glory of God all the time. All the time, every day. We don't go to work just to make a living. We go to work to live for God. No matter where we are, what we're doing, God can use us. And we need to give Him praise. Amen. Let's stand, please. We'll have an invitation. We have personal workers. We'll be glad to show you how to be saved. If you cannot say tonight, yes, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know that, preacher. If you cannot say that, don't you want to go to heaven? Surely you do. The only reasonable choice is that you want to go to heaven. And we want to invite you to come tonight and receive Christ as your Savior. And then I believe there's some believers, some Christians here, maybe through the songs and maybe through the reminder of His death, burial, and resurrection. He's calling you back, perhaps, to that place of great commitment and yielding to Him, making things right with Him, whatever the spiritual need may be tonight. Maybe you just want to come pray for a lost loved one or pray for some family member. The altar is open for prayer. You come. After we have prayer, we'll have an invitation. Father, thank You for the Word of God that gives us this information for our inspiration, that we might live it out for the glory of God. If there's somebody here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved. Those of us that are already saved, help us to make some fresh commitments and get some fresh oil tonight as we think about the whole truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank You that He's coming again someday. We know He's coming again. May we live our lives for a risen Savior. In Jesus' name.